Welcome to the show, Internet World. I'm your host, Rasta Jeff. This is episode 789 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. In this episode, I'm going to give away a free pack of seeds. That's right, I've teamed up with our friends at SeedsHereNow.com to give away a free pack of Eyrie Genetics seeds. Stay tuned later in the episode. I will teach you how to win that free pack of seeds. In this episode, I want to talk about stabilization in cannabis plants. It has come to my attention that a lot of the cannabis world, a lot of the horticulture and growing world, does not exactly understand what the word stabilization means when it comes to our plants. Oftentimes, I see people post to the internet that they got a pack of seeds and they discovered intersex plants within that package of seeds, and they will attribute that to what they call unstable genetics. Now, that may be part of the problem, but that is not exactly what stability means when it comes to cannabis plants. In the plant world, in the horticultural world, in the botanical world, stability means that if we grew out a large batch of seeds, that we will not see multiple phenotypes in that population, that we will see stability, that all of those phenotypes will be uniform. If you drive through a farmland state, one of those states where there's a bunch of corn, maybe Nebraska, maybe you see a bunch of soybeans, maybe you're going through Kansas, as you drive down the road, you will notice that every single one of those corn plants looks exactly the same, and all those soybeans look exactly the same. Now, you're going to say that's genetic modification. That's probably part of it, but also that is breeding for stability. Those plants have been bred to be that phenotype, to all be stable, because we can't run, if you've got acres and acres of corn or acres and acres of soybeans, you can't have some corn that gets really tall, some corn that stays really short. We need uniformity. It makes it easier to water. It makes it easier to basically maintain and care for that crop, and it makes harvesting and processing much easier if everything is uniform. And also the customers, the clients, the people buying that produce, the corn, the soybeans, whatever produce, they expect uniformity as well. So uniformity is basically what we are talking about when it comes to stability in the botanical world. Now let's talk about how we achieve that. Creating a stable line is all about selective breeding and good breeding practices. The most important thing is starting with quality plants, plants that have been stress tested, plants that have been through the ringer, plants that you know are quality breeding plants. So if we are breeding cannabis, if we're breeding corn, if we're breeding soybeans, whatever you are breeding, one of the most important things to think about is the starting plants. Do we have quality starting material? If you start with a plant, I like to refer to cooking and baking or being in the kitchen. If you start with ingredients that don't taste good, your food will not come out tasting good. If you put more crap in a pot, no matter how much you cook it, how much you stir it, how much you bake it, still going to taste like crap in a pot. Breeding is the same way. You have to start with quality plants. You can't start with crap plants. You can't start with intersex plants. You can't start with problematic plants. Or guess what? You're going to breed more intersex problematic plants. So it is all about selective breeding and selecting quality plants to begin with. Now, I said that one of the most important things to think about when it comes to breeding is starting with quality plants. Another very important thing to think about is having a goal. What is your goal? What are you trying to create? What are you trying to produce? What's your goal with this breeding project that you are working on? Especially if we are going to work it to F4, F5. If our main goal is to come out with a strain where every seed looks the same, wouldn't it be a good idea to start with a solid goal, with a solid idea of what we want? So a couple of the most important things to think about when it comes to breeding are starting with quality plants. And the next thing I always talk about having in mind is breeding with a goal. What's your purpose? What are you trying to create? So now let's say we've got two plants in mind. We know they are good breeding candidates. We've tested them. We know that they are not intersex plants. We know that they handle stress well. We know that they handle environmental changes well. We know that they're pest and pathogen resistant. So now we've got two plants. Now we kind of have an idea. Now let's write down a solid breeding goal. When we breed these plants together, we're going to see a lot of different expressions through the different filial generations. We need to make a guideline now of what we are looking for so that the plants don't throw you off. Sometimes you'll have an idea, you'll grow the plants, and then you'll say, you know what, I want to go this direction. That's going to mess up your breeding. Stay on the map that you made in the very beginning and make that other direction a B project. Let's do that later. Let's do that at another time. Maybe simultaneously if possible, but draw that roadmap and stay on your map, because the plants like to kind of give you ideas and throw you off, and your friends are going to give you input and the internet's going to give you input. Follow the original idea and get to where we are going and see how we can do that with the map that we've drawn. And then later on, we'll learn how to branch off and do other side shit. But let's stay focused if we're trying to make a stable line here. Now let's talk about stabilizing these plants. We've got two plants. Hopefully you've got a male and a female. That's the way that this is going to work. So one of the things I would also recommend at this time is starting with plants that are completely different from each other. Plants that are too similar to each other, just breed more similar shit. So find something that maybe has, let's talk specifically about my cross, Arise. Arise was a very successful cross because of this factor. I used a Golden Goat female. Let me describe Golden Goat to you very briefly. Golden Goat is kind of known as a tropical sativa, but it also grows short and squat. So it's got a really nice sativa kind of head buzz, really tropical flavors, and it makes really skinny leaves. But it doesn't get super tall like most sativas, and you can harvest it a little more early than most of the other sativa plants. It'll come down around week 9, which is a great trait for a sativa kind of buzz type of plant. So it's got those skinnier leaves, that tropical flavor, that sativa style buzz. Then I took a Daybreaker plant, which is Joseph OG and Chem D. That puts off a lot of gassy chemicals, burnt rubber, fresh tennis ball kind of smells and aromas, completely different than that tropical sweet candy in the Golden Goat. It also put off big, gigantic leaves. The leaves are so big on that plant. It also makes a lot of crazy purple colors. So I knew that those were completely different, so I bred them together to create something brand new. And in my opinion, in my experience, it worked very well. So something I'll recommend at this time is start with plants that are very different. If you can find a male and a female that are very far apart in traits and flavor, aroma, growth structure, I think that is when you have the best success in creating new lines. So with that in mind, we've got two plants. Hopefully they're vastly different. If not, your breeding project will work with your goal if you've got a goal in mind. But I have more fun when they are way further apart. So I've got my male, I've got my female. We've got a breeding goal in mind. Now the first thing to do is chuck some pollen. Let's put some pollen on this female plant. Then we're going to make seeds. This batch of seeds is called the F1 generation, the first filial generation. These are brand new seeds. They've never been made. It's a new cross. That is the F1. So from that F1 batch of seeds, we will grow them out. Pay very close attention to what you have done. Are there any intersex problems? Are there mutants? Are there freaks? Do you have germination issues? Or are these quality plants that you're enjoying the outcome from? Do you like growing them? Do they grow well? Do they handle problems well? Are you seeing the phenotypes that you were hoping for? So grow those out. What I would recommend now is finding the phenotype that you were looking for. When you wrote down your goal, you said, I want to find this. You want a plant that grows with this shape, this structure, this flowering time, this flavor, this aroma. It's got to work in your grow. Some people run a scrog. Some people run big, wide open plants. Some people top them one time and let them bush out. Some people only veg them up 6 inches tall and flip them. Do the seeds that you made work for your grow style? Can you find the phenotype that is perfect for your grow? If so, let's continue with this breeding project. If you're not finding the seed that you want, the plant that you want doesn't come out of there, then this is not a successful breeding project, which is not a big deal. I would abandon this for now, keep those seeds, and then pollinate with different plants and different females and try it again until you do find the cross that you're looking for. Not every cross will be a winner every single time. It definitely might not be what you're looking for the first time you make seeds. So my point here, make that first filial generation, grow them out, find the one that is exactly what you're looking for. We've got to do very careful selections at this point. We've got to find exactly what we're looking for. So find a male plant and a female plant that have got the traits you're looking for. Like I said, the leaf shape, the plant structure, the node spacing, the type of branching. Does it react well to what you want to do? Find the girl in there for you. Also, find the male plant in there for you. Now, guess what we're going to do again? We're going to grow the boy, we're going to grow the girl, and we're going to chuck some pollen. We are now making the F2 generation. The F1s now just bred together. They make F2. Now, these F2s are going to show you a lot of crazy shit. The phenotype variation in the F1 won't be as wild as the F2s, but you'll see a lot of stuff. In the F1s, you're going to see plants that look 50-50 like the mom and dad. Some plants that lean more toward the mom, and some plants that lean toward the dad, and then you'll see some weirdos in there. In the F2, we're going to see plants that look like the mom. We're going to see plants that look like the dad. We're going to see plants that are anywhere between 1 and 100% the mom and the opposite the dad. So you could have 50-50, 60-40, 70-30, either direction, mom and dad in this batch of seeds. Also, we're going to see grandparents represent themselves. Whatever was used to make the plants that you use, the parents of those plants, they're going to pop up now and they go, hey, here we are. Do you remember me? I'm the great grandma, or I'm the grandma you forgot about. I'm the grandpa that you forgot about. They're going to pop up and say, what are these weird traits? And you're going to go, why are the plants doing that? That's from grandma. That's from grandpa on either side. So we've got four grandparents and two parents that can represent themselves here on this cross at this time. Also, you're going to see some weird shit. We just took the whole genetic gene pool and put all of the traits in there, every color of eyes, every color of hair, every type of skin and teeth you can imagine. We just shook it up, and we're going to get some weird-looking cousins out of this. That's what we're going to see in the F2s. So it is your job in that F2 generation to find the plant that has the traits you want. I'm going to keep saying that. Find the plant that is perfect to continue this line. This is the one that is going to represent the next line. So it's got to be the perfect plant for you. Does it have, I'm going to keep saying it, the leaf size and shape, the plant structure, the internodal spacing, the branching? Does it finish on time? Does it react well to what you do? If it does, that's the one that you want to keep. Find that female, find that male. Then guess what we're going to do? It's time for them to get it on again. We're going to make the F3 generation. In this F3 generation, this is where we start doing a little bit of the stabilization. We have gotten rid of that F2, the wildness out of the F2 generation. The F3s are starting to lock in a little bit. We're starting to see a little bit more uniformity, which is the idea of stabilization. That is what stabilization is. So what are we going to do again? We're going to grow out these F3s. We're going to find a female. We're going to find a male, like I keep talking about, with the exact perfect traits that we wrote down, the goal that we are seeking. We want to find that plant once again. If it's not in there, that's not a big deal. Go back and grow more of those F2s and find those. If you have to go all the way back to the F1s and make F2 again, do that. Never be afraid to go backwards and run more of those old seeds. You might not have found what you were looking for because you might not even have known what you were looking for at that time, or maybe it just didn't pop up. But let's run that F3. Let's find the perfect one. Then what are we going to do? We're going to pollinate that F3 with another F3. That's going to make F4. Now we're getting super close to stabilizing this plant. At this point, you should have probably 70 to 80% of your phenotypes looking fairly uniform if we have done the selection properly. And again, the only way to tell if we are doing this properly is to grow out large batches of these seeds. Grow out as many as you can. I would like to see 1,000 of them if possible. I understand that is not possible for everybody. I'm spoiled. I'm blessed. I'm here in Colorado where I've got access to commercial grow facilities. I've got access to a lot of friends that grow. I can give them seeds. I can actually rent space from my friends who are no longer growing and grow in their grow spaces. You know, if I'm renting grow space from you and I'm producing seed or flower in your space, big up and thank you. That does help me a lot. So I recommend 1,000 of these seeds if possible. I understand that's not possible for most people. Maybe do 100. Also, I understand that is not legal for most people. I'm going to say follow the rules where you are. Don't get yourself in any trouble. But also, you're a fucking adult. Do what you want to do. I'm just trying to keep myself out of trouble. If you can't run 1,000 or 100 seeds at a time, you probably can run 10 at a time. Can you run 10 of them? Maybe run 10, find the best one for now, set it in a corner and keep it as a keeper plant. Then run 9 more and just keep doing that until you just eliminate a few, until you are satisfied that that is the one that you're looking for. There's ways to pheno hunt large batches. It just may take more time. So I think I was at F4 when I got off on a rambly tangent there. But from that F4, we are going to do the same process. We're going to grow them out. We're going to find the plant that has the exact traits that I'm looking for. It should be easy to find by now, because by this F4 generation, we're seeing a lot of uniformity. Things are starting to really stabilize and settle in. So we're going to find that female that looks exactly like all of the traits we wrote down: the flowering time, the growth structure, the node spacing, the branching, the leaf size and shape, colors, aromas. We should be smoking all of these. Have you found out if it's got the buzz you want? Does it have the terps you want? Is this the perfect plant for you? Find that F4 generation, find a boy, find a girl. Also, by this point, you should be pretty good at selecting male plants. That's going to be the real challenge. But find that male, find that girl, let them do some pollen chucking. At this point, you've now created F5. In this F5 generation, we're going to see really uniform plants among this population. A lot of the plants are going to look very, very similar. We are now reaching our goal of stabilization. So at this point, if you grew 100 seeds, you should probably get 10 plants that don't fit in, but the other 90 are probably going to look just like each other. So now the next step, obviously, if you want to lock this in even more, is to go to the F6 generation. I personally don't know any breeders that go to the F6 or beyond. Perhaps DJ Short is hitting the F6 generation, but the last I read, when he was selling seeds, he would take them to F5 and then stop. That way he would leave us room to breed to them, because if he goes any further, it kind of locks in all of the traits that he created, that he selected, and when we breed to it, that's all that's going to come out, is those traits, because that's all that's left. That segues me into the next part of talking about breeding and stabilization. You can accidentally stabilize negative traits if you don't pay attention. Negative traits could be intersex or whatever you're not looking for. If that is in your population of breeding anywhere, if you see that and you pass that on in the breeding, you could stabilize a negative trait that you weren't looking for. So make sure you grow out a lot of seeds. Make sure you do a lot of testing. Make sure that you grow every batch, a large population of every batch if possible, and select the best plants from that batch. If you were seeing any problems, maybe go backwards and breed from other batches and select better. Maybe you just selected the one that carries an intersex trait or one that doesn't speed up, doesn't flower quickly enough. You can go back and find better plants if you wanted to do it again. Or you could also back cross for one of those better generations. If you've got a plant that's super close in the F4 generation, you could take a F1, a F2 and pollinate that with it. It'll give you the traits you're looking for. But my advice is to keep going forward and keep making it better. And if you make a mistake, go back to where you made the mistake and then move forward from there again. Now, a second ago, I did mention back crossing, which leads me into another thing that I would like to kind of ramble about for a minute here. When I think about breeding, sometimes I'm thinking about locking in traits, but another thing I'm also thinking about is washing out traits. Now let's talk a little bit about washing out traits. And the reason I want to use backcross as a kind of a guideline for this is because it's really easy to explain it and you'll understand it if I use backcrossing as an example. Let's talk quickly about what a backcross is and then I'll make sense of all of this. Let's just say I've got a plant. We'll say golden goat because I've done that. People want golden goat seeds, but I don't have a male golden goat plant. So you can't make regular golden goat seeds without making feminized seeds or without adulterating that golden goat plant in some sort of way. So what I did is I pollinated the golden goat plant with another plant. Like I said before, a plant that was vastly different than the golden goat. This way I could identify the traits in the progeny. So I pollinated the golden goat with the daybreaker. And from that, I could see those big leaf shapes. I could see those skinny leaf shapes. I knew right away that all of the skinny leaf shaped plants were the golden goat phenotypes. And the bigger leaf plants weren't even necessary to keep around for the backcross project because those were the daybreaker dominant phenotypes. So now if I want to make a backcross of this golden goat, my idea is to wash out all of those traits of that daybreaker. Now, how do I wash that out? By simply breeding the golden goat to the golden goat multiple times. Now, it's basically like adding more layers of paint until you can't see that daybreaker in there anymore. The way that I did that was I took the golden goat and the daybreaker. I made seeds. Now I've got my first cross, which is golden goat to daybreaker F1. From there, I found a seedling, a male, that looked just exactly like the original golden goat. I took that male and I pollinated that original golden goat. Now I've taken that adulterated golden goat pollen, it's half golden goat, half daybreaker, and I've put it back on golden goat. Now I'm basically minimizing the ratio of amount of daybreaker traits in there. So that's gonna make the golden goat back cross one. From there, we grow out a batch of seeds and I'll find another male that looks exactly like the golden goat from that batch of seeds. And I'll put that pollen back on the golden goat again and make yet another batch of seeds. Now, do you see what I'm doing? Each time I add this golden goat to the mix, I'm just washing out traits of that daybreaker. We're just washing out those negative traits. So another thing to think in mind, another way to approach breeding is by thinking about what traits do you want to wash out and what traits do you want to bring along with you. Now, I know I gave a lot of ratios, a lot of fractions, and a lot of numbers. This is all good in theory. A lot of things to think about is this is all plant theory. If you write down these ideas, write this all down, it will look really good on paper, but we've got to keep in mind these are plants. They're going to do their own thing sometimes. Genetics will do their thing. You can do allele charts. You could write Mendel charts. You could do your predictions. We can do our favorite selections, but sometimes nature is just going to throw a curveball at you. So this is kind of a guideline. This is kind of a quick course on how to stabilize and what stabilization means. But keep in mind, when it comes to cannabis plants, there will always be variables because nature always finds a way. And guess what? Nature always wins. All right, that is my report on stabilization. I did say at the start of this podcast I was going to give away a free pack of seeds. Of course, that free seed giveaway is sponsored by my friends at seedsherenow.com. Big shout out to my friend James Bean at seedsherenow.com. Also, big shout out to the entire crew at seedsherenow.com. I know none of that would happen without everybody on the team. That's a big crew they've got there. Big shout out to the whole team. Thank you for all of the support. Love working with those guys. Big fist bump to seedsherenow.com. Before I I tell you how to win seeds on this episode, I do want to announce the winner of the last episode. However, the way that you won seeds on the last episode was by signing up for my newsletter. I have selected a winner, but I don't feel that it is fair to read your email address here on the podcast because I don't want you to get a bunch of spam. So if you won the free seed giveaway on the last episode, I have reached out to you via email. Please do respond to that email. Send me your shipping address. Put a real name in that, please. If you win seeds, when you send me your address, please put a real name on there. I don't like putting like Ganja Joe's Weed Farm on a package that I'm sending to somebody with seeds in it. First of all, that just looks shifty for the mailman. And then second of all, that encourages people to steal your shit. Plenty of people are stealing the mail. And if they see like Joe's Weed Farm or Ganja Joe or Ganja Bob or Stoner Dave or whatever on the package, that does encourage theft. That just lets them know there might be something smokable or consumable in there or enjoyable in there, and that does encourage them to steal that. So don't get your seeds stolen that you won, because that's a bummer. I don't want to have to send them to you again. So you will get an email if you won from the last seed giveaway. Of course, I've got your email address because you did sign up for the mailing list. I'm not going to do it that way this time. If you would like to win a free pack of seeds, it is very easy. All you've got to do is comment on this video. This is episode 789 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. If you're not watching on YouTube, I do encourage you to go to the YouTube video, leave a comment. Let me know why you think you should win a free pack of seeds. Also, let me know which pack you would like to win. If I select you and I've got that pack of seeds, I'll do my best to give you that pack of seeds as your prize. However, keep in mind, things do sell quite quickly. Not everything is in stock and available. So make your wishes, don't make demands. I'll do my best to fill that. So it's very simple. All you've got to do is go to the YouTube video. This is episode, once again, I said 789 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. Leave a comment on the video. Let me know why you should win a free pack of seeds. And also let me know what strain you would like to win. And once again, if you won from the last episode, you did receive an email. So check your email. You might have that sitting in your inbox. Also check your spam, because you never know. All right, I'm getting rambly. It is time to wrap up this episode. Ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, pimps, hoes, friends, foes, smokers, growers, clone cutters, pollen chuckers, all of you beautiful cannabis enthusiasts out there, I want to thank you once again for listening to another episode of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. Make sure you check out the Patreon campaign at patreon.com/growfromyourheart. Everything else is on my website at iregenetics.com. If you have any questions, corrections, comments, or concerns, you can send me an email. The email address is growfromyourheart@hotmail.com. Don't be shy. Please do reach out. I look forward to hearing from you. I think that is all I've got for this episode. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for listening to me ramble. I'll be back next week with fresh new content. I want to give a big shout out to our friend Stewie Grows. And until next time, take a fat dab and give your mom a hug for me. We'll be right back.